8 through 11. But we're going to start our reading at verse 6. But our text is verses 8 through 11 of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is found towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting a reading at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He might exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've been traveling through the book of 1 Peter, and we come to the last exhortation concerning the church. As we remember from last week, the goal or the duty of the elders of the church are to protect the church, to govern the church on behalf of Christ, her head. And as we see this week, there is good reason why elders must be diligent in their duty. Because there is one who is going around seeking our destruction, seeking to destroy, to devour this church. As Revelation reminds us, the devil is the great dragon, the serpent of old, who seeks the destruction of all God's people. As Thomas Brooks said, Satan promises the best but pays the worst. He promises honor but pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure but pays with pain. He promises profit but pays with loss. He promises life but pays with death. When recently surveyed, approximately 60% of so-called Christians denied that the devil was a person or a fallen angel. Rather, they would like to think of the devil as a code word describing impersonal evil or a force of wrongdoing. This, however, is not true. The devil is real. He is a fallen angel who seeks, who is looking, who is devouring to find someone who he might destroy. We as a church are reminded to be watchful, to guard ourselves from these traps and snares. Yet we also know the devil has already been dealt the death blow. He is now raging like a caged animal who knows his fate. The grace of our Lord has crushed the devil for the good of the church. But even though the devil has been conquered, he still is allowed a period of time in which he is allowed a certain amount of freedom. And that is why we as a church must be watchful. This evening we're going to consider 3 points. First, who we are to be watchful for. Second, how we are to be watchful. And third, how long. How long we are to be watchful. Our Lord reminds the church to watch out for the devil's schemes. The first thing that Peter tells us is he tells us who we are to be watchful for. Brothers and sisters, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We must know who our enemy is. Peter here says that the devil is our adversary. As an adversary, the devil is diametrically opposed. He is against us. He is against the working of the church, against every single believer. And he will continue to work against Christ's bride until the end. Since Christ has now ascended into heaven, he now goes after the next best thing, the people of Christ. Now this word adversary, it's a legal term that describes those who bring a lawsuit against someone else. The devil brings up our sins, and he tries to keep us, to hinder us from going to our God in prayer. The devil has many schemes. One of his schemes is he reminds us fallen creatures, that we are worthless. He tries to keep us thinking that God could and can never love us, so it's useless to pray. He tries to keep us focused on ourselves. He accuses us. He brings up our sins and our sins of our youth before our eyes. And he says, "You are a wretched being." Instead of seeing these sins and then clinging to Christ, the devil will have you see your sins and drown in a pit of despair. But, O church, O believer, you are the bride of Christ. Your sin-stained garments have been removed, and you have received the righteousness of Christ. When your sins come up before you and are a stench in your nostrils, do not stop there. Confess your sins and flee to Christ. Now, a second popular scheme of the devil is where he masquerades like an angel of light. You see, Satan not only tries to keep us wallowing in our sins, he also tries to lull us asleep with his sweet words. Instead of telling us we have great sins, he tells us that we have no sin. He says there really is no problem. He brings up before us the good things that we have done. He causes us to look at ourselves, and even in our prayers we bring up before God as an offering our goodness as a reason for our salvation. This is also a deadly scheme that is popular in the church today. Instead of seeing the grace, the forgiveness that you have received, you focus on your own good. You see, brothers and sisters, the devil is not only opposed to your justification, he is opposed to your sanctification. He does not want us to be renewed in the image of Christ. Consider what happens in the vast majority, if not all, of our lives. We resolve to read the Bible. We resolve to pray. We resolve to train our children in godliness, to not let anger grab a hold on our heart, and we continue to fall and fail. And we forget what we are to do. Even in our prayers, our thoughts usually tend to stray. We think about what we have done instead of glorifying God in His grace. You see, brothers and sisters, the devil loves nothing more but to put a wedge between Christ and her Lord. The devil is very real, and he wants your soul. He is like a lion, stealthy, stalking his prey. You don't hear from him. You don't see him. He doesn't announce that he is going to come and tempt you. But then he pounces, just like a lion jumping out from his hiding place. And when you think of a lion, don't think of that cuddly little stuffed animal. Think of the lions in the Colosseum, whose mane, whose hair was stained red from the blood of the saints. That's what the devil is. He is a lion. He is powerful and dreadful. He desires to swallow you whole like the fish swallowed Jonah all those years ago. If we, in our own strength confiding, our striving would be losing. But thanks be to God who leads us in a triumphal procession of victory over death and the devil. There is freedom because the devil has been conquered. But it is also our duty to stand firm against this foe. Firm faith is a weapon against the devil. As James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that we have been reminded who the devil is and what his schemes are, we have been reminded how serious this battle is, we are told by Peter what we are to do. We are to be watchful. As verse 8 says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. It is the duty of a Christian to stand firm in the face of temptation, following the footsteps of our Savior. Now, to be sober-minded is to practice self-control. To be clear in your mind. To recognize that you are in a battle. To keep your own flesh under guard, under constant guard. The devil is quick to team up with our sinful nature and to tempt us into sin. The internal struggles against things such as anger and rage and jealousy and lust, things which come up from our own heart, these things must be guarded against. But Peter goes on to say that we must also be watchful. The struggle is not only internal, but it is external as well. To be watchful is to guard your steps, to keep yourself out of situations in which the world would seek to tempt you to sin. Young people, that may mean that you can no longer date a specific person. That may mean you may no longer be able to go with your friends to a certain place. For some of the older members, it may mean you may no longer be able to watch a certain television show or watch a TV channel at all, or different kinds of movies. If you ask yourself seriously, what things happen in the world and in my own heart that lead me to temptation? If you can make a list, those are the things that must be avoided. To be watchful is to guard yourself and your heart and your steps. To be sober-minded is to think rightly. That is your Christian duty. If you know that when you do this certain action, you are constantly tempted to sin, you resist that and you flee from that situation. Because the devil not only teams up with our own sinful flesh, but he teams up with the world as well in order to cause us to stumble. We must keep at attention. We are in the battle. You must never be lulled into thinking we are still stateside, that the battle hasn't really raged. Rather, we must know that there are pitfalls, there are landmines placed by the devil in the world and in my own heart. We are at the front lines of the spiritual battle. If you think that there is no war waging for your soul, for your heart, that sleepy position leaves you open for the easy target for the enemy. This keeping watch is something that Peter also had heard firsthand from his Savior. Matthew 26. Right before Jesus went to the cross, he said to his disciples, keep watch, pray with me. What happened? Jesus went off a little ways and he came back and he found them sleeping. That's our temptation. We receive commands like this to keep watch and we take up our duties tomorrow, not really thinking that this world is a warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But Peter himself fell into temptation. Read with me from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of men." Here Jesus rebukes Peter, calling him Satan, because Peter was thinking of the things of this life. He was putting up roadblocks, trying to stand in the way of Jesus' path to Calvary. He offered to Jesus glory without suffering. But for our sins, suffering was necessary. Even today, anyone who says that the Christian life is free from all pain and all suffering is himself deceived by the devil. It is only through pain and suffering that we are sanctified in the image of Christ, so that one day we also may reign with Him. Glory comes through and after suffering, not by avoiding it. For Christ, it was necessary that He go to the cross. For us as well, suffering will be a part of our lives. The final command given by Peter is he is told to resist the devil. Now, resisting is not an offensive word. Rather, it is defensive. Christians, we are not supposed to go around and look for trouble. We're not supposed to put ourselves in situations in which our faith will be tested. No, if we see a lion, we're not supposed to get as close to it without getting in the reach of its paw. Also, for the Christian life, we must not give the devil a foothold. We are to stand firm when the devil bombards us, but we are to resist him, standing firm in the faith. The strength that we need to be sober-minded, to be watchful, to resist, is not found in ourselves, but it is found in union with Christ. Satan is opposed to your sanctification, so he must be opposed and resisted. When you are tempted, you must cling to Christ in prayer. Knowing that the devil is a roaring lion doesn't lead us to live a life to cower in fear. Rather, we stand firm behind the shield of the Spirit, which quenches the fiery darts that the devil fires at us. We must be diligent. We must be watchful. If you knew at what time of the night that a thief would break into your home, obviously you stay awake. But we do not know when trials will come. We do not know when the devil will strike. So we must be ever watchful, vigilant in our duty. We must be like those who watch for the morning. And let me say a word to you who have been selected, Lord willing, to be watchmen of this church. You must teach this church how to be watchful. It is your duty to train them to watch their own hearts. We as a church must be diligent, because the Satan hates to see churches gathered. He hates to see new churches started. He hates to see sanctification in our life. But we must be on guard. Be watchful, know God's word, and flee to Christ in prayer. Now, this watching, this task of being diligent, is one that is limited. As verse 10 says, for a little while. Now, when we are going through pain, when we are going through trials and tribulations, this must give us encouragement. We don't often think that our lives are short. We don't often think that this trial is something that is passing. Sometimes when tribulation and temptation come before us, they seem like an overwhelming flood. But Peter reminds us, it's for a little while. It's passing. These trials are short. These temptations will be over one day. Let me say a word to you who are now dating. Those of you who are dating someone who, Lord willing, will be your spouse someday, let this word be an encouragement. As you continue to flee, resist temptation of having sex before you are married, it's passing. Lord willing, one day you will get married and you'll get to rejoice and enjoy that great gift. But for now, you must stand firm. Resist. You know exactly what situations, what places you might go in which you will be tempted. Do not go to those places. And if this person you are dating is trying to pressure you to do something you know which is sinful, ask yourself this question. Is this other person a prospective spouse? Or is this other person a tool of the devil trying to get you to sin? But this can be extended to every one of us sitting here. No matter your age, there are temptations that must be guarded against. You who have been married for 20, 50 years, these same temptations arise in your heart. Maybe not the external act, but to lust with your eyes, to commit adultery in your heart. You know the TV stations, the TV shows that show things which incite this in your heart. You know the kind of movies which will have situations arise that the devil will use as a foothold in your heart. Resist. Stand firm. Because it is limited. These sufferings, these tribulations, they are passing. The devil is restrained. He is like a lion for sure, but he has been dealt the death blow. He is now on a leash. We must trust that God in His good timing, that our life of trial will be over. Now there are two things that could happen. Whenever one of these two events take place, every one of our trials will cease. First, if you are called from life and you pass through the shadow of death, then you will no longer have to fight your sinful nature and fight against the world. Or second, our Christ, our King, returns on the clouds of glory. If either of these events take place, whichever one happens first, your life of trials will be over. But for now, we as a flock graze in dangerous territory. But one day there will be lasting peace. So, congregation, stand firm in this fact. When you think that these temptations are too strong, remember that God always provides a way out. When you are assailed by your sinful flesh and by the world, remember that these things are passing. Take comfort in a God who never changes. We can also take comfort when we consider those who have lived before or who are living in the world right now. Suffering and tribulation is a common occurrence for all believers all over this earth. We are right now the church militant in the midst of the battle, but one day we will join the church triumphant. Presently, there are those in India or China or Russia being persecuted for their faith. Persecuted physically, far beyond what most of us here will ever experience. They're remaining faithful. And so can we, so must we. Knowing that persecution has been around from the beginning of the New Testament church and will continue to the end, we know that we are not alone. When tribulation and trials come to us, we know that we are being treated like children, brothers and sisters in Christ. When we are persecuted together, we are being welded into the one holy church of our Lord. We are being prepared for glory. Our sinful natures are being put to death, and we are learning to lean and cling to Christ. At the appointed time, our Father who has called us in Christ will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Our works and our lives will be established and remembered by Him who has called us according to His grace. The only way that we can be strengthened is if we rely on His strength and rely on the One whom the Father has sent. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall His empire be. He rules us and He controls all things. The grace of our Lord began our journey, and the grace of God will establish us to the end. We here as a church in Sioux Center look forward to the time when we can and Lord willing be established and organized. But that desire will only be fulfilled if we rely on Christ, the One who has all dominion and power. You see, the battle is too great. The odds are stacked against us. But Romans 16 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." The adversary, the one who condemns us and brings up our sins, meets Christ. And Christ conquers him. Our sins are now forgiven. The devil does not want you as a Christian to be established. Parents, the devil does not want your children to come to know Christ as his Savior. The devil does not want you to be sanctified in the image of Christ. His tactics are crafty. He works in ways which cause all of us to go through a life of pain. But we serve one who is greater than he who is in this world. We serve one who will fight for us and establish us in this life and in the next. To him be all glory, honor, and praise. He has received the victory. Now, whenever we think about the devil and the works of sinful flesh in the world, do not be disheartened, because Christ has received the name above every name. At his name, every knee will bow. The devil himself will have to bow on that final day before Christ. To him belongs all dominion, all rule, all authority, all power are in his hand. Yes, the battle against sin in our lives will be difficult. It will be long, and it will be for your good, but it will not last forever. Don't give up. Keep watch. The trials that you are going through right now have been suffered by many others before you, and Lord willing, many after you have passed. But we must ever be on guard, because the devil, he's a lion. He is prowling, looking to seek us as his prey. But the victory has been given to Christ. So may we fear and praise him who has received all dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this word that we have received. We are grateful that we can know who our adversary is. That we can know we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. That we can know that when we rely on you, when we hold up the shield of the Spirit, that the fiery arrows, the darts shot at us by the devil will be quenched. That you will work through whatever pain and tribulation comes to us, and that you will work it for our good. That we have no need to fear the devil or his minions or any power of darkness, because you have received the name above all names. To you belongs all dominion, power, glory, and authority. And you will rule all things forever and ever. May we be encouraged and may we be watchful. May we remember that this life as part of the militant church is temporary. And that when our time of warfare ceases, we will be gathered together with a church triumphant. That the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh will finally be conquered completely and done away and thrown into the lake of everlasting fire. And that we will also receive renewed and perfected flesh. That we will reign in glory for all eternity with you, our Lord and our King. These we are grateful for because of Christ. And these we pray in His name. Amen.